What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
All right, time to feed you some more football here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. John Harbaugh, Eric DaCosta, got done about an hour or so ago. End of season press conference. Instead of practicing, getting ready for the Kansas City Chiefs, today would be John Harbaugh, Lamar, and a couple of other players talking about this big matchup. Instead, we won't hear from them again until what?
Mini
camp?
Combine.
No, I'm talking about the players.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mandatory.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unless a couple show up for OTAs, but you get the drill. It's going to be a minute. But John Harbaugh was there for sure. Dean Pease was brought in as an advisor to Zach Orr as a defensive coordinator. And John Harbaugh was asked, hey, is old Peasy coming back?
Yeah, I have. And a little more nuanced thing. Just appreciative of Dean and the job he did. I know Zach feels the same way, defensive coaches. It helped us. You know, it was a good thing to have Dean come back and experience. It reconnected us to, you know, our roots in terms of the structure of the defense, because Dean was a big part of that from 2012 and 2011, 2010 even, as a linebacker coach, and on through as a coordinator through 17. It was kind of good to get reconnected to a lot of that, and I think he was a good eye and ear for the players and coaches. And he's interested in continuing in some sort of a role. I do think, you know, he's at that stage of his life where it's probably not going to be that full-time thing like he did the second half of the season. Mel, his wife, is amazing. She was here. You know, they're at that time of their life where they got some different priorities with the grandkids and stuff, but he is going to be still connected.
Yeah, I listening to that, I think Dean Pease had a big role in getting them back on track because, you know, they switched things around and, like Harb said, they went back to their roots of the defense. So what's Dean going to do in the future? And it probably helped Zach a ton. And like Harbs had talked about, you know, during the press conference, that you're a rookie, first year, like a first-year head coach. How much better is he the second year just because you've got some experience with Zach Orr, having no experience ever as a coordinator in his life. And now he's got, you know, 19 games under his belt. So he's going to be a lot better and do things probably much different. You know, I mean, look at the Ravens offense from year one to year two with Monk and how much better it got. And I would anticipate that Zach Orr will be better as D coordinator. What involvement is Dean Pease going to have? Probably more like a checks and balances guy. You know, OTAs, minicamp, probably pop in. Not here every day, kind of like Harbs said. And I don't think he wants to do that. And probably and like he said, his wife doesn't want him. Because, I mean, when you're a coach, you're there. You're there. You're there sun up to sun down. So he, you know, and he's probably, what, 70 years old, something like that?
Well, he was in semi-retirement to begin with.
Three different times.
Yeah. But being in the restaurant business like I was for 18 years, it sounds to me, and if you're a restaurateur, you know what I'm talking about, Dean Pease is going to be on call. You know what I mean? Like, if they feel as though they need something, that Dean Pease might not be there on a daily basis.
Right.
But if assistance is needed, he'll be on call to come in and help.
And, yeah, and you know what, Bob? You know what it may be? I'm guessing is that if he's not there a lot, they'll be sending him all the film and everything just so he can keep up, and he can do it from his house. Like, Harbs, what do you see? What, you know, especially like if they're struggling, what do you see? What's going on?
And by the way, on call always sucked if you were on call because some asswipe always called out sick and you couldn't make plans.
It's like a doctor, too.
Because you're on call. Anyway, we're not here to talk about the good old days. Eric DaCosta was there talking to the media, and the question was, Lamar Jackson just signed his big fancy deal. Any talk of restructuring that one?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen teams do that. And, Lamar and I, we've had a lot of discussions about contracts over the years. And at some point, I'll probably talk to Lamar. I'm just really happy, blessed to have watched him play football this year. You know, we just finished the season. I want Lamar to relax a little bit and kind of think back on what we accomplished as a team and what he accomplished individually. You know, and so I will have those conversations probably at some point. And I think Lamar is, you know, what I've seen just with Lamar is he's just grown so much, even just over the last couple of years.
Well, how do you go about that?
Well,
initiating a possible restructure of the deal.
Oh, it doesn't cost him anything. He just gets more. He gets cash in hand is what he gets. And all it does is it helps you with your salary cap, and eventually it'll catch up to him. But he's still young, and he's going to be around for a long time. So getting cap space, when they need cap space, they'll go get cap space. And the easiest place to go get it from is your quarterback, because what does your quarterback want, Bob? Your quarterback wants to get players around. So, I mean, that's a logical place to go get it. And, you know, Bob, this is probably one of the years when you look at the roster that it's not a huge. Would you like some players at some positions? Yes. Is it an absolute need? Probably not, because of Darius Washington's restricted free. Because you can line up your team with pretty much a pretty good unit going in right now with the guys you're still losing in free agency.
Now, we talked earlier about this subject here with Cordell Woodland. Ronnie Stanley looks like he could be moving on to greener pastures, other pastures, possibly. But Eric DaCosta, Roger Rosengarten, his role will be?
Well, he's played both sides of that. You know, he's played left and right. I mean, this year, it's a very hard thing to come in as an offensive lineman, as a rookie, and play well. And Roger, honestly, just got better and better and better and better. Mature guy beyond his years. I think a year in the weight room is going to really serve him well, as it will all of our guys. But I think that we were very, I can speak for myself and say I was very happy with what Roger did. It's a very tough position to play as a young player.
It definitely is. Playing tackle against, especially when your division has got the pass rushers that it has, absolutely, that's a tough. And Bob, let me just say this, and I'll say it, mini camp and all those, he wasn't ready. And was he ready day one when the season started? No, he didn't start right away. But then when he did have to start, they gave him help, and then he progressed as the season went along. By the end of the season, pretty damn good. And like Eric says, you're in a weight room is going to help him so much. Get rid of all that baby fat and stuff.
Now you need a new right tackle.
Yep, and I don't know who that'll be
yet. Maybe it's at the 27th pick of the draft. We'll talk to Ryan Wilson about that and the championship games, Philadelphia, Washington, round 3, and then a rematch, Buffalo, Kansas City. We'll get into that and more. Funhouse Trip, Nolan McGraw later in the hour. And then Inside Access takes over at 2. Orioles had 3 players, prospects, named among Baseball America's top 100. So you've got Maryland basketball at Indiana at noon. Hopefully Maryland coming off a win against Illinois tomorrow. Always fun 9 o'clock tip. I have to drink some espresso at halftime to stay away from that one. But either way, and then you have the championship games, Philadelphia, Washington, round 3, Buffalo, KC, round 2, but round 4 in the postseason. Here to talk about that, the draft order set to what, 28, I believe it is, Ravens 27th pick. Here to talk about that and more from CBSSports.com. Joins us every Wednesday. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's Ryan Wilson. Ryan, what's happening?
Welcome to the world of losing, guys. Sorry about that. You know what's funny?
This is how disingenuous apology. Yes.
I was pulling for the Ravens. I wanted the Ravens to win that game. I was actually pretty excited. I'm up here in central New York, so that's a weird thing for me to say. But that was a tough one to swallow.
Now, the vitriol that Mark Andrews has taken, we get it. Bill Buckner comes to mind, Scott Norwood, Morton Anderson, you know, in all sports, guys who have not done well tend to get hated for, Billy Cundiff here, for crying out loud. But when you watch that game unfold, and a lot of plays happen over the course of 60 minutes, and my philosophy, Ryan, I'm usually wrong. Hey, yeah, I get it. You got all these plays, but you're down this, you're in this moment. Or if he catches it, it goes to overtime. Bills had, all timeouts, minute and a half to go. Yep. I mean, Tyler Bass could have won the game for all we know. when you look at the ultimate decider in the outcome of the game, what cost the Ravens? Was it that? Was it Andrew's fumble or the drop pass? Was it the three turnovers? If you had to put your finger on one thing while Baltimore's cleaning out lockers and Buffalo's going to Arrowhead, what was it?
Turnovers. Yep. If they had scored that touchdown and Mark Andrews dropped the ball in the first quarter, no one cares. No one's talking about it. It's one play. It was a fraction of a second that happened at the wrong time, and obviously Mark Andrews would catch that ball 99 times out of 100. But you can't go to Buffalo and turn the ball over like you did and expect to win that game. And the fact that they were able to come back and do the things they do speak to how good this team is. But it's a huge disappointment. I would imagine Lamar, I don't know if he talked about it after the game, but he's probably pretty down on himself for some of the mistakes he made in terms of not being safe with the football, because that was his bread and butter this season, taking care of the football. And Josh Allen wasn't asked to do a lot in terms of throwing the ball down the field, but they took care of the football. They kept the Ravens off balance on defense, and obviously he used his legs to win. That first drive was clinical, and I don't think at that point anyone was worrying about the mistakes to come and who they were going to point the finger at. And I think it's certainly unfair and unfortunate that Mark Andrews is the target of the ire. But I mean, if that happened on the first series, no one's talking about what Mark Andrews did or didn't do when those turnovers loom large as to why that game turned out the way it did.
Now, you have Kansas City again. They survive Houston. Mahomes flopping all over the place. He'd get teed up if he was doing that in the NBA for some of the floppage he did there. But, Ryan, yeah, here they are. They don't score a ton of points anymore, and Mahomes doesn't. I haven't seen him throw a bomb all season long, not that I can remember, that's been completed successfully. But they're 60 minutes away from getting back to the Super Bowl, trying to win for the third consecutive year, and it's almost like the Taylor Swift things become the Taylor Swift show. Hey, tonight's Taylor Swift's guest is Caitlin Clark. I wonder, Kelly Clarkson this week, ladies and gentlemen. But why do they keep surviving? They've been walking that fine line. Is Buffalo ready to kick them off of it?
So in terms of the last question there, Bob, Sean McDermott can't turtle up. And that's been his MO in these big games in the playoffs against the Chiefs in particular, 13 seconds, five, whatever. All that stuff comes to mind. And he's done a better job this year about letting his coordinators coordinate and sort of being a little more at ease. And he don't change who you are. Let Josh Allen do his thing. If he throws a pick, no one cares. He's still Josh Allen. And it's funny, man, the way you talk about the Chiefs, because I don't watch a lot of NBA. So my thing now is that I call Patrick Mahomes Flotty Divas, because that's how dated I am in terms of flopping all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
But they've become the Patriots, right? Like, there's no reason to really hate the – there are a lot of likable characters on that team, the Chiefs, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes seems like a decent human being, Travis Kelce. But when you start shoving it in our faces 24-7 and whoever, you know, Taylor Swift sitting with up there, and no one cares. At the end of the day, I think people just want to watch the football and not be beaten over the head with why this team is who they are. And I think that's what turns – like, Patrick Mahomes hasn't turned us on him. The flopping doesn't help. It's the media's just – relentlessness with putting it in our face. And I think this Buffalo, if they were able to win this game, and I think they can do it, it'd just be a sort of a fun change. And the other side in the national and the NFC is going to be fun as well, with a little different potential team there if Washington can win. So I'm just pulling for diversity and who's representing us in the finals, because I like the Chiefs. I have friends in that organization, but I understand the frustration. It's just nonstop Chiefs and Taylor Swift and Patrick Mahomes. I get it. And I think the Bills would be a fun story, because they have the four Super Bowl losses that they would like to get out of their memories from, you know, 20, 30 years ago.
Hey, Ryan, let's talk about the coaching search. I thought Aaron Glenn was getting a Jets job, but then I see where he left and didn't get the job. And at Jacksonville, Liam Cohn stayed in Tampa and got paid more, you know. What is going to happen? I think a lot of it in Jacksonville is nobody wants to go with Trent Baalke. That's the biggest problem there. Let's call it what it is.
Right. And I give Trent Baalke a lot of credit. You can't get rid of him. He's the main character and whoever your favorite character is in Game of Thrones. Like, he knows how to play the game.
Yes, he does.
Much to the detriment of what feels like the organization, just based on the results. So I get it. And I give some of these coaches credit for not jumping at every opportunity, even though there are only 32 of them. Last year, we saw Ben Johnson not take the commander's job, and maybe he comes to regret that or not, but he wanted to come back for a year and get a little more experience, and now he's in Chicago, and what could be a pretty good setup with Caleb Williams. And then I was with you. I thought Aaron Glenn and Lance Newmark were going to be the new Jets coach and GM, and Aaron Glenn has a long history with the Jets. They drafted him. He played there. He was incredibly successful there. He has a lot of loyalty to that organization. So maybe it's just it'll be delayed, the announcement, or maybe they're going to interview some other people because they've interviewed everyone under the sun, it seems like, because they were among the first to get going in the coaching search, and they're still trying to fill both those roles. Liam Cohen, I give him credit. Like, I've heard good things about Liam Cohen. I've also heard that he maybe needs a little bit more seasoning before he takes that next step. And if he agrees with that, or someone was in his ear about that, I give him credit for coming back because he had a lot of success with Baker and he does a lot of things well. And in terms of the overarching job description of being a head coach, if he's trying to clean some of those things up and get better at it, more power to him. Because the worst thing you can do is go to a organization that's in disarray and you're maybe not on your P's and Q's and, things just go sideways in a hurry. We see that happen almost every season.
You know, what's going to be interesting too, Ryan, is to see what happens with Detroit. When you lose both coordinators and, you lose coaches and stuff, it's going to be interesting to see how they come out of that.
Absolutely. And that's a great point because, and that's probably part of the frustration in Detroit is that they didn't get as far as they wanted to get because there's, we talk about is the dynasty over, is the Super Bowl run over with the players, but seldom do you talk about the coaches and the front office guys that help get you to that point. And to potentially lose both coordinators, Aaron Glenn gets this job, that's going to be tough to replace. I think Dan Campbell's excellent at his job. I think Brad Holmes, the GM, has done a fantastic job. But at some point, you got to replace the talent that you put in place to get you where you were, and that's not always easy to do. You can make if you hire the wrong OC or the wrong defensive coordinator, and you end up being the Bears or the Raiders, you got to fire the guy in the middle of the season. Then you're starting over from square one. So you got to get that right. I would imagine there's some guys that they've had their eye on with the understanding this was going to happen at some point. But you hate to see it given the way the season ended for Detroit.
All right, Ryan, let's talk a little draft since you've been doing a lot of that as of late, too. Give me the positions that are deep in the draft because the Ravens are picking 27th. They'll probably be looking safety, corner, pass rusher. What is this a good draft for, and what is it not a good draft for?
Well, they don't need a quarterback, but it's not a good draft for quarterbacks. It's not a good draft for wide receivers early. Offensive line class is going to be a little thin at the top, but if you want an edge rusher, a defensive lineman, off-ball linebacker, even cornerback, and there are going to be some safeties too, you're in the right draft. And there are some dudes. I'm working my way through all the Shrine Bowl and Senior Bowl invitees, and I keep, sometimes you get to you're at the point where you watch a guy and you're going, okay, what am I doing? I don't see this. But that has not been the case. They're dude after dude on defense. And by the way, 98% of them play at Ole Miss. If you want to potentially look at a guy that could be good for your team, go watch Ole Miss. They have a ton of guys there. But up and down the board, the class is incredibly deep at edge rush, and that would be obviously a target for
Ravens,
for Baltimore there at the bottom of the first round, middle of the defense, and then even the secondary has some guys there that you could get even rounds 2 and 3. They're going to help your football team.
Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. All right, Ryan, this is it. Championship weekend. I said the winner of Buffalo Baltimore is going to win the Super Bowl, so I'm not backing down Tom Petty style on that one. And by the way, the last time the Commanders made the Super Bowl, they played the Buffalo Bills, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. So who's going to the Super Bowl in New Orleans, where it snowed for the first time, I think, in the history of mankind this week?
Oh, how about that?
That's crazy.
I don't know where Jalen Hurts is in his health. I love the Washington Commanders story, so I'm going to go Washington, and I'll go with you on the Buffalo Bills. But let's have a rematch of what's that, 91, the 91 Super Bowl. Get Mark Rippon and Jim Kelly out there to do the coin toss.
Yeah, hopefully James Cook won't forget his helmet like Thurman Thomas did that infamous day at the Metrodome. He's our Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. Ryan, appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
Ryan.
Ryan
Wilson, everybody. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, talk more about what happened at one winning drive, because Vinny was there. We'll have a couple of cuts for you. Inside access at 2, but in between, how about that funhouse with Nolan McGraw? We mentioned that the Orioles, according to Baseball America, 3 prospects in the new top 100. Sammy Basayo at 14, Kobe Mayo at 29. Heston Kerstad still qualifies as a prospect. He's coming in at 81. We've seen Mayo and Kerstad at the major league level. Kerstad's been on the playoff roster 2 years in a row, but now that Tony Taters is in Toronto, he's going to have to put it up this season. And Kobe Mayo, Where does he play? Hear about this power. He looked like a guy that struggled with major league pitching, shall we say. But Basayo's a high-end dude, and maybe we'll see him in late 2025. Who really knows? But there's some good news for you. But let's get back to the Ravens. And Eric DaCosta traded for Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
Didn't work out.
Nope.
We talked about that Philly game where Tucker was missing everything. That's the game Deontay Johnson refused to go in. And then eventually they told him not to come back, gave him the old Felix Unger frying pan, never come back. Then he went to Houston and pouted there too. But then DaCosta claims him off waivers. So EDC, what's the method to that madness there?
Yeah, I think, you know, we looked at it as a chance for us to strengthen a position group, potentially, a guy we've played against a lot. I think we did our homework. We understood the risks and the rewards. Didn't look at it as cost prohibitive. It was a relatively inexpensive deal for us to make in many ways. We knew that it wasn't 100% going to be a slam dunk. It didn't work out. So we always try to mitigate our risk. One of the jobs of a general manager is to mitigate your risk and look at the downside and the upside and see how it works out. In that particular situation, I really didn't see a lot of downside. I think we understood what the downside might be, that the guy would be unhappy with his role potentially.
But didn't get into the reclaiming. He's explaining the actual trade itself, and we all know how that ended. But now you bring him back. If he signs elsewhere, you can get a comp pick. But based on what he did this year to get thrown off of two playoff teams, what team in their right mind would sign this guy? Nope. So the Ravens get nothing out of this, ultimately, we're guessing here.
I would, if I'm a betting man, Bob, I'm betting with you on that they get nothing out of it. Now, I guess the concern that you have as a GM going in is we've got a good team, you know. I have a good receiver room. What's he going to do? How dysfunctional will he be? And it was a risk. And I'm guessing we're not shocked. So if we're not shocked, Bob, what happened? They're not shocked.
Yeah, but it's the juice worth the squeeze, I guess, for this guy.
In my opinion, no.
No. By the way, Pro Football Writers Association of America voted Lamar Jackson as the most valuable player.
Oh, nice.
First player to win back-to-back MVPs from the APs, like the one that counts. And they voted him first-team All-Pro, so you're assuming he'll win that, too. First, since Aaron Rodgers did it in 20 and 21, sixth overall since the Pro Football Writer, started handing this out in 66. Earl Campbell, 78-79. Favre, 95-96. Marshall Faulk, 2000-2001. Peyton Manning, 08-09. So there you go. Lamar Jackson, third MVP as chosen by the Football Writers. Let's get back to Eric DaCosta. Now, 2022 draft, Kyle Hamilton goes 14, and I believe on this show, because the Ravens had just signed Marcus Williams, what the hell, man? They don't need this guy. They just got safety. They already got the double. And then they get Tyler Linderbaum late in the first round. A lot of people on that whammy-lance, including Lamar Jackson, if you remember that tweet, after they traded Hollywood. Well, here we are 3 years later, both all pros, and any chances or plans, I guess, EDC, to get these extensions rolling here.
Well, we'll work on that. I mean, you know, I sat up here in 2019 and said we're going to try to retain as many of our good young players as we can, and I think we've done that. I'm proud of that, and I think you'll see that continue this offseason.
Yeah, Bob, the other thing is, you know, he did say that he would like to get an extension with Henry. The key, you know, even before Lindenbaum and Hamilton, what about Likely? You know, because Likely's, you know, up next kind of guy. And he did talk about, you know.
Same draft, right? Likely? 22?
Yeah. Well, he doesn't have a fifth-year option. Yes,
right.
The fifth year.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. I would think that he'll be working on Likely big time to try to get something done.
Now, last year, as we all know, the Ravens lost coaches in the offseason. Position coaches, your defensive coordinator, and a Mike McDonald. John Harbaugh anticipating more of the same this offseason.
Well, it's not for me to really know. I don't know for sure. I think it's awesome and great. Coaches have gotten an opportunity over the last few years. You know, I'm kind of proud of that. And the fact that guys are getting opportunities now, whatever those might be, I'm not exactly sure because it's still pretty early. But you might have a better beat on that than I do sometimes, you know, in terms of following up on what's going on. But whatever chances they get, they're most deserving of, and I'm happy for them. Of course, I'd love to keep them, you know, and if I tell them, I say, you know, I'm rooting for you, you know, I'll definitely tell people how great you are because you deserve it. But if it doesn't work out for you, I'm really happy that you're staying with us. And I think our players, I've talked to a lot of our players, and I know our players feel the same way.
Now, I haven't read, the only head coaching candidate is Todd Monken. And he's still got Jacksonville, Raiders, and then I don't know, you know, Jets or whatever else that Todd has. But any other assistant coach or anything, Bob, I have not seen their name in anything. I thought maybe Mike McDonald maybe would like T. Martin because he's looking for an OC. Or let's say that Todd got the Raider job. Then would he take somebody with him of the Raiders? That's normally, or from the Ravens, that's normally what happened. You know, would he I would imagine if Todd got a job, do you try to take George Warhop with you, who was with you in Tampa, you know, kind of thing? I don't know, you know, and maybe you can't stop him if the guy's going to be a coordinator or whatever, but I don't know. The guys out there, all the media people, Bob, were saying that they talked to some people in Chicago, and they said that from the people that they talked to in Chicago, that Monken had an awesome interview with the Bears.
Moot point now because Ben Johnson got job.
Yep.
Do the Chargers need anything? Because they fleeced the Ravens last. Remember, Joe Hortiz left. He's the general manager. Chargers need anybody?
Ronnie, well, no, they don't need tackles. I don't know.
John Harbaugh, and Vinny, you were there, did say, reading some of these cuts here, that Zay Flowers could get knee surgery in the offseason.
Yeah, there's they thought he would be able to play in this game if they would have won, but surgery, they may go in like kind of exploratory surgery, Bob, and see if there's anything. And God forbid on that, I mean, that would kind of suck because you go in there and all of a sudden, oh, yeah, there is a torn ACL in here.
Oh, boy. You know? That would be completely unacceptable heading into the offseason, which unfortunately the Ravens are already in. We'll come back. Nolan's going to join us with his fun house. Got inside access coming up at 2 o'clock. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. One more segment to go. Pick a song. We'll play it. Favorite female artist or band. Drafted by the Jets. Played for the Jets. Was personnel director for the Jets. And now he's the head coach of the Jets.
I heard Ryan Clark in their podcast, and they had Aaron Glenn on. And Bob, I didn't realize this, but he was running 8 restaurants in Houston. He owned 8 restaurants in Houston. And he liked it. He didn't love it, you know. And his wife says, you know, like, I guess he got real excited watching playoff games. And his wife says, why don't you go do what you really want to do? And then he says, like, a weight went off his back and says, you know. And then he went and he was like a assistant coach for the Jets. And then he said, I want to start from the ground up. I don't want anybody to treat me any different. So he was like an intern type guy. Then he became a scout where he was on the road and all that. Then he became an assistant DB coach. Then a DB coach. You know, so he wanted to go through every level. So when he got to be a head coach, he would have a real good feel for the whole organization, which I think is pretty smart.
Well, congratulations to him on that job. Not an easy job.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination. And that restaurant business probably got sick of people calling out sick and had to call the old call person, as we talked about. Tomorrow, talk more about what happened out at One Winning Drive today. Start ramping up our coverage of the championship games in the National Football League. Philadelphia, 6-point favorites over the Commanders. That's the first game at 3. And then Kansas City laying 2 against Buffalo. That is at 6:30. Maryland's at Illinois tomorrow, 9 o'clock. We'll preview that game for you and everything else that goes on over the next few hours in your sporting world. But Nolan, you ready to get out of here?
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
Sponsored by the Smile Design Center. Changing the way you feel about dentistry one smile at a time. For information or to schedule an appointment for care, visit them today at SmileDesignDoctor.com.
I like that quick straw.
105.7 The Fan.
First text here says, if the Ravens lose Todd Monken to a head coaching job, I hope they learn from the McDonald's situation last year. Don't just hand the keys over to a guy in-house, especially if it's going to be a first-time gig for that person. Value the experience elsewhere.
I would think, what, T. Martin would probably be a real possibility just because of the relationship with Lamar and stuff. I'm hoping, you know, and it doesn't seem like Todd is, you know, he's not one of the three finalists. It doesn't sound like for Jacksonville, and the Jets hired a guy, you know, unless he got the Raiders. He interviewed for the Raiders. So I hope not, because I think the Ravens really have a chance to be really good next year, and to take that offense to even a higher level would be pretty awesome.
This one here says, everyone's talking about the dropped two-point conversion at the end of the game. Well, what about the first two-point decision that they didn't convert? Would have tied the game had they got it. If they chose to kick the extra point, would have been down one at the time. Texter here, Doug, just pointing out, if you kick the extra point the first time, you only need the extra point on the back end. But it couldn't have predicted at the time that they were going to be in a situation like that again. It's kind of a hindsight thing.
Yeah, 21-19. I'm guessing that the analytical people say you got to go for it. That's what I'm guessing.
Well, I mean, yeah, just on the surface, what's the point of being down 21-20?
Well, the only...
Or 21-19. There's really no difference.
All right, if you're 21-20, then all of a sudden they score and it goes to 28-19. Now you're down two scores.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if you kick the PAT and they get a touchdown, then you're only down touchdown and a two-pointer.
Had a whole quarter to go, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, makes sense.
Tony and Perry Hall says, Josh Allen sure didn't have the lofty stats in that game, but did rush for two crucial touchdowns. Not always about the passing yards or stats in general. He does what he needs to in the biggest moment. Put stock as well in their impressive home record this year, 9-0. That says MVP to Tony and Perry Hall.
Hey, Tony, you can have your opinion. Basically, what he was asked to do was not lose the game, is what he was asked to do in that game. You know, I mean, you can't base MVP on one game.
Oh, and it doesn't. That's already been decided.
Yeah, so... Josh Allen did what he had to do in that game. They're up 21-10 at the half. It's like, Josh, if we don't turn this ball over, more than likely we're going to win this game.
And if he does win it, which he won't, everything's pointing to Lamar winning it.
Yep.
But if Allen wins it, I don't think anyone's going to be going crazy. It's two guys. It's those two.
Yep.
And I guess you could make a strong case for Saquon Barkley getting it as well. I don't know. It's going to be Lamar, though. Moot point.
Texter here, Ed, pointing some more blame in Lamar's direction for the loss. Says the
mind.
Henry drop on the wheel route. I mean, it was a drop. It hit him in the hands. But Ed here noting that Lamar kind of underthrew that ball. Could have been a little bit better. And he's going the Chris Sims route here with the end of the game. Says that Lamar could have put that ball in a better spot for Andrews on the two-point play. I'm sorry. That's just Ed... Sorry, thank you for texting, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's totally. I mean, you're a receiver. The ball hits your hand. I was a receiver coach. Ball touches your hand, you catch a damn ball, period.
And it's not like it was out here where it was in his stomach.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how much better does it get?
He's made way tougher catches than that one.
And that's
that
what
game.
Makes it hurt even worse. Is he's done the amazing. He's bailed Lamar out in the red zone at times where there was an overthrow, and he's come down with a circus catch or battled two defenders to come down with it.
Didn't Chris Sims say the same thing?
That's what I'm saying. He was going the Sims route.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, it's all good.
Oh, that's now you're talking about a hot take. That's an outrageous take.
That's just running out of things to say.
Yeah. Right.
All right, real quick here, Glenn and Hamden, some positivity. We'll end on this because we didn't talk about it today. He's celebrating $5 beers at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. They're coming this coming season. They lowered concession prices. So Glenn's happy. We got $5 beers. No more complaining about that.
Well, it's in certain areas. It's not necessary. Yeah, it's going to be on all levels, but it's Leinenklugel, Miller High Life. I didn't know that. You know, that was still a thing. Sierra Nevada, which is good. Stella Artois, $4 hot dogs.
I like that.
Yeah, the kid still drinks the Bobster Mick Ultras, and they'll still be $20. So it is what it is.
Well, can't win them all.
How much is a Coke?
I have no idea. Coke. I haven't drank a soda at a baseball game since I was like 12. Oh, it's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. That's going to do it for us. We'll come back tomorrow with Total Request Thursday. Talk about your sports life. So stay tuned for that. Inside Access coming up here in a matter of minutes. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. Now, Quest Smith.